Well, good afternoon, a very warm welcome to you all. I'm just going to speak for maybe 10, 15 minutes max, partly about what you're going to see in a bit in terms of baptism, but also a verse which I hope will give encouragement to BT and to all of us today. So, if Simon could get my slides up, that'd be fine.
Yeah,
about the volume of this, I could use this slide. So I was, trying to think what verse would be a good verse for meeting for all of us today. And this is the one that I settled on. And you just click on to the frame. So just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. And it just seemed really appropriate because it was in baptism, she's going to be declaring that faith, that receiving Christ as Lord. She and all of us need, it's not just one landmark in our whole journey of faith. And we need to carry on living in Christ. And there's so much faith in BT's family and background to celebrate and to rejoice with. And I hope that all of us will have the chance to give thanks today as well. So I'll speak mostly, I guess, about that first bit. What's going on behind that phrase about receiving Christ Jesus as Lord? And along the way, give a little bit of explanation of baptism. And the way I'll do it is by giving you a very brief history of Old Testament Israel. So one of the main places where you see water come up, and when baptism happens, you'll see there's plenty of water involved, was in God's instructions to his people about building the tabernacle, a place where God's presence was particularly with his people. And between that sort of holy place and the rest of the tabernacle, they were meant to build this big washing bowl. And every time a priest went in to encounter the presence of God, one of the things they had to do was wash themselves. And I don't know, that's not because God is kind of obsessive about cleanliness and dirt, but it helps the priests to kind of get in the right place emotionally and spiritually to encounter God. It represents their sort of respect and their need to be clean before God in that sort of broader sense. So after that, stuff happens. But one of the main things that happens is that Israel has kings, and with hindsight it turns out that their second king, King David, really represented kind of a high water mark of ancient Israel, when things were going well for them, and on the whole things were going well before God as well. And so King David is a kind of a really key figure for them. After that, it basically goes downhill. They're invaded and they're exiled and all kinds of stuff happens. So that by the time Jesus is coming on the scene, they're under occupation by the Roman Empire. And one of the key phrases that pulls together the Roman Empire is this declaration that Caesar is Lord. Caesar, not one particular emperor, but the title of the emperors in general. So the emperor is Lord was the kind of unifying anthem of the Roman Empire. So in that context, where they're occupied and there's been no sense of God's activity for 400 years, you can imagine the Jewish people asking themselves, where's God? Has God abandoned us? Why should we bother with all of this stuff? And they also have this extra question, because ever since, things have been going downhill, God's prophets have been telling the people, come back, and not only come back, but promising another king like David. And so one of the things they're doing very much is kind of looking out or anticipating. And in that context, John the Baptist appears. And as you might guess, he's got something to do with baptism. And his message is, he says to the people, repent. And I guess we often think about repent as kind of saying sorry for stuff, and that's partly it. But it's more fundamentally, he says, turn around. You've been wandering away from God for so long, it's time to turn back to God. And that's his call. And he says, why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And This is in Matthew's Gospel, and that just means the rule of God. Matthew doesn't like saying God, he says heaven instead. But John the Baptist is saying, God's here, God's coming, something's happening. And he invites people, so the Jewish people, he invites them to come and be baptized, to kind of dunk down in the River Jordan, just as a public sign that they want to get serious about God. So, like I said, one of their big questions was, this king, this Messiah that God's promised, where is he? Is he here yet? Have you seen him? Have I seen him? We have different big questions. Questions like, what's life for? What's my purpose? Is God real? But for them, that was really, you know, the big question. And you see that in lots of places where it talks about people kind of encountering Jesus. So this is some of the early disciples. Andrew is what follows John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, look, Jesus is the one. And so immediately Andrew goes off and tells his brother Peter, what's the good news? We found the Messiah. Jesus is the one that we've been waiting for. And so then there's Jesus' ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. We get to the birth of the church, at Pentecost, as God pours out his Spirit. And again, Peter now talking to, you know, all the kind of believers and converts to Judaism around Jerusalem, just after Jesus has been raised, has, you know, very much the same sort of message. He says, God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Repent. And so he's saying, you know, Jesus has been here. You know, you've seen all the things that he's done. People keep asking him, are you the Messiah? Or are we waiting for someone else? And Peter says to the crowds, he is the Messiah. He was the Messiah. You know, you missed it. But now's your chance. Come back and see. Jesus really is this Messiah that we've been waiting for. And again, same sort of call, like for John. Be baptized as a sign of that turning to God. And now, for the first time, being baptized specifically in the name of Jesus Christ. So even behind that little phrase, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, there are all of those things going on. So Christ is the same as Messiah, is God's appointed king. So this is the king like David. Jesus is Lord, is absolutely a political statement that's the opposite of Caesar is Lord. So, you know, this is real claim of power and authority. And this is something that not everyone was expecting. Like in the old tabernacle, where God was specially present to his people, it turns out that God is also completely present to us in Jesus. And all of those things come together in what we believe. So in baptism, we'll, you know, Beat will come and she'll have to go under the water and back up and pray over her. And it symbolises that turning to God, whether it's turning back to God, turning to God for the first time, and recognising Jesus as Lord. And it's obviously got some of that symbolism of washing, cleansing, not just from particular bad things that we may have done, but from a way of life that didn't have anything to do with God, a way of life that tried to live without God or depended on other things instead. But it has some other, you know, kind of symbolism as well. I'll just mention another couple. Paul talks quite a lot about this idea of the body of Christ. He says that in baptism we all, you know, we enter into the community of Christ, the church, and it's like we're all part of Jesus' own body together. And that's part of, you know, everyone who's baptized as they is becoming part of that in a particular way. And a second analogy he draws is going under the water is a bit like dying. You know, as Jesus disappeared into the tomb and it was closed and then he re-emerged, there's something there about going under the water that's a bit like identifying with Jesus as he dies, in the hope and anticipation that we also identify with him as he's raised to new life. So lots of things going on just in that act of kind of going under the water in this particular context. cleansing into the body of Christ and identifying with Jesus in his death. And so we say, I mean, it is a thing that we do, but hopefully it's not just a thing that we do. We hope and pray that in doing it, we also encounter God at work. So that's what we call a sacrament. There's something real and spiritual going on just out of our sight. And we do pray that God will encounter Beatty in a special way as she's baptised. Just a quick aside, you know, depending on what sort of church tradition you've come from, you may have seen this done in different ways. Some traditions, like the Anglican one, do baptise you when you're an infant, you know, like Emma just now, and then later on, when you can make your own decision, you can kind of confirm that. Our tradition, we kind of save the actual baptism bit until you're old enough to say that you want to, and we kind of dedicate earlier on. But it's, you know, it's basically the same deal. So just a little bit about that second verse. Continue to live your lives in him. And Paul really loves this phrase about being in Christ. And I'm sure there's more to it than we could ever really understand. But here's a very few quick thoughts. So we've talked a little bit about what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Being in Christ isn't something we do on our own. It's something we do together. It must surely mean having the same aims and the same sort of values that Jesus did. And not only that, but also trying to have the same sort of way of doing things that he did. You know, even if that means kind of embracing suffering. You know, he had a very particular way of exercising his ministry that we're also called to emulate. And hopefully also drawing on the same source of power that he did. So another metaphor you might be familiar with, which Jesus uses in John's Gospel, is this one about he's the vine and we're branches. You know, so branches are distinct, but they're not separate. Branches in a vine only bear fruit when they're actually joined into the vine, because they depend on the trunk of the vine for nourishment and sap and so on. So being in Christ is also a bit like that, that somehow we're actually sort of keying into him for our strength to do stuff. So that's just sort of a little taste of some of the things which I think are going on behind those few verses. And so I commend it to BT today and to all of us that just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, and as that will be demonstrated in baptism in a minute, continue to live your life in him, rooted and built up in him.